Okay, so we're in Daf Chaf Beis today. Let's all focus. So we have around six lines down on Chaf Beis 22a. So if you remember, we were talking yesterday about the Shniyot, the secondary Arayot, and then we mentioned we had a Braisa on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph that mentioned, I think, eight secondary Arayot, but then the Gemara says there are other Braises that have more, and here we're going to do some now. So the Gemara says, Tani Debe Rebbe Chiya, Braisa was taught from the base Medrash Rebbe Chiya, Shlishi Shebevno V'Shebevito, Sheben Ishto V'Shebevad Ishto, Shnia. Now Shlishi means Shlishi from his son. So there's a nice chart in the article. Let me get the article chart out. The charts are always helpful here in the Yavamah. I'm sorry, I don't have more charts for all of you. But if you look in the article, yeah, on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, there's a nice chart. So if you look, if you have the chart, but you could look at it, otherwise just listen. So a person's granddaughter is deraisa's prohibited. That's an erva. In other words, his son's daughter or his daughter's daughter. That's minatora. But the great granddaughter or the son's granddaughter or the daughter's granddaughter. That's the shnia. You got it. So that's. That's so that so the Gemara calls that, let's see back, Shlishi Shavno Shavito. So three generations, one, two, three. He's stringing the three generations beginning with the daughter or the son, but that's the three generations. We'll see in a minute. Now, then he says, let's look back to the Gemara. So Shlishi Shavno Shavito, Shavven Ishto, Shavad Ishto. Also, if it's three generations from his wife's family, in other words, he didn't have the child with the wife, but the wife has got a daughter, or the wife's got a son. They have the wife's got a granddaughter. So the granddaughter would be an heir for him on a Torah level, and the great granddaughter from the wife would be the Shnia. That would be the secondary heir. Okay. Now, continuing on, Revi Shebachami v'Shebachamoto, four generations going back with his father-in-law, his mother-in-law. So it means. His wife's grandmother, either his mother-in-law's mother or his father-in-law's mother, that would be an Easter deraisa if he would have relations with that. But if I go back four generations, here he counts the four generations beginning with the wife. So the wife is one generation, the mother-in-law is the second generation, the third generation is the mother-in-law's mother, the fourth generation is the mother-in-law's the mother-in-law's mother's mother. So that's also a secondary. Okay, so those are some shniyot la, right? We learned. We're on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, around 10 lines down. So Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi. So Ravina says to Ravashi, how come when you're calculating generations and you're going back in time, the earlier generations with the wife, I begin counting from the wife. So the wife is generation one. Her mother-in-law is generation two. The mother-in-law's mother's generation three, and then the mother-in-law's mother's mother is four. Why to begin it there? He says, but if you look on, again, focusing on the wife's side of the equation, when we're going down in time, like his wife's, you know, daughter and then granddaughter and then great-granddaughter, we don't count the wife as generation one. In other words, we say, when we make the calculation, we say it's four up, but three down. But it's three down because I'm not counting the wife as the first generation. I'm counting her daughter as the first generation. How come over there you flip it over that way? So he says, Lamala, the certainly kohisto ka'ati chashivlo. So when he's doing Lamala, so all the Yisurim are because of the wife. So he begins counting with the wife. Lamata, the Surah Lavin Koch Ishto Ka'ati Loka Chashivlo. Now, when it goes down, maybe I jumped the gun a little bit with this. When it goes down, it's in other words, it doesn't have to be his wife. He could have raped a woman, and the sentence would still be prohibited. So it's not necessarily the wife that's the goreim when you go down in generations, because he could have raped a woman, and then it's not a wife, and then that's the way that goes. He says. So the Gemara says, yeah, v'haben ishto u'bad ishto du sur mikoch ishto ka'ati lo chashiv lo. He says, yeah, okay, so when he rapes the woman, so I understand, so it's not a wife, so we're not going to count the wife in that situation. But what about when he has a lawfully wedded wife? So why don't we count her there? Because that's one of the cases where I begin with the wife's son and the wife's daughter, and he doesn't count it there. So I didn't tanish social durot l'mat today, below chashavah, So he says, since he counts vis-a-vis the man on the man's side of the equation, we're going to count three generations below. And the way that Rav, the way Rav Tobolowsky was saying, in other words, there was no, in other words, there's no, if a man has a daughter, so the Yisurim begin, the Yisurim start clicking in, going down from him. So he says, so we're going to, for the sake of symmetry, we're going to do it the other way as well. So again, let's take a look at the, yeah, all right, one second. Yeah. He says, right. So he says, the Tana taught two cases of the husband's three generations below. He says, he did not reckon her. So one second, I think that's it. All right. Right. In other words, like, since on the man's side of the equation, sometimes he could have raped a woman. So I'm going to begin counting from the child. I'm not going to count from his paramour because the paramour is not his legal wife. I'm going to begin counting from the child. So therefore, for the sake of symmetry, for the wife's side, we'll do it the same way. Right. Let's say he raped a woman. So it's an erva to have relations with his daughter. It's an erva to have relations with his granddaughter. That's Doraisa. And then the great-granddaughter would be Drabanan. But I'm not going to begin, there's no wife to even speak about. And so I'm not going to begin anything with her. So he says, therefore, when there is a wife, so then I'm going to also begin counting the three generations from the child. But in terms of mother-in-law, that only begins when you have a wife. That's only when you have a mother-in-law to begin there. All right, I'm going to move on unless anybody has any questions, comes with us. Okay, let's see further. Now, okay, so the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana, Shniyot Rabbi Chiya, he says the Shniyot that Rabbi Chiya just mentioned, which is basically the great granddaughter and the I don't know, it's the great grandmother also, that's what's doing with it. So Shnio Debe Rabbi Chiya, Yeshlan Hefsek, Oelahem Hefsek. Do they have a limit, like a cessation? In other words, is it my great granddaughter and my great great granddaughter, my great 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 granddaughter? Not that would be Shayach. Is it like my wife's great grandmother, her great great grandmother, her great great grandmother? Does it go on and on ad infinitum, or is it limited in time? So Tashma, so try to demonstrate to bring a proof from a statement we quoted yesterday on Chafal Gmanalov, Da'am Rav, Arbanashim Yeshlam Hefsek. So what Rav said, there are four women that we mentioned, the Baraisa, they have a hefsek, and it was just them, and not going on the too long. So it sounds like those four, nothing more. So that would lead me to think that in this case, it goes on infinitum. So the Gemara says, Vilma kikama Rav, lahima nitha. Maybe when Rav was said, there are four, he meant four of the ones that were mentioned in that Baraisa, but this wasn't mentioned in the Baraisa, it's not Mukhra. So Tashma, so the Gemara tries to bring another proof. Shlishi Ravi. So in the Braista, what we did at the beginning of today's daf, Tani Be'Rav Chiya, we had Shlishi Shebno Bito, three generations from his son. In other words, it came out to be his great-granddaughters. And then Ravi going up from the wife. Shlishi Ravi and Felo. So the fact says Shlishi Ravi, it sounds like just that third generation is it, and the fourth generation is it, not beyond it. So Dilma Mishlishi Be'elach, Ravi Be'elach, not Mukhrach. It could be like Shlishi and going further, in other words, like your great granddaughter is an Isa Drabanan, and your great great granddaughter, great great granddaughter. And same thing with the wife's, you know, great 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 grandmother. So we didn't resolve that. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. Amalei Rav of Rav Nachman, the Rav said to Rav Nachman, Chazimar, Hahim Rabbanan, the Atami Marava. Have you seen this great God who came from Eretz Yisrael? Ba'amar, he said, Ba'al B'mar Rabba. They asked this question, Eretz Yisrael, Gazru Shniyah Begerim Olo, Gazru Shniyah Begerim. So a ger, we know when a person converts, it's Kikatan Shnola Dami, it's like a new child is born. So are they goes there Shniyot? In other words, like Shniyot would be like your grandmother would be Shniyah, right? In other words, a person's grandmother is on Asra Min HaTorah. So does that apply to a ger? If a ger converts, you know, can he marry his grandmother? Please take a look. So Amalei, Pashta Umay Erev Agufa, Ilav Shel Yom Rubayim Yikdusha Kamur Yikdusha Kamul Gazru Barabanan. So the Arias themselves, let's say a ger would want to marry his sister. Let's say he and his sister, the biological sister, both convert to Judaism, and he wants to marry the sister. So that's only prohibited by the Chachamim, because people will say, it means even non-Jews observe certain dinim of incest. So we don't want people to say he came from a Kedusha Chamura, he came from a higher level where these things were prohibited, and now he joined a new religion where, you know, incestuous relations are permissible. So, but for that, we would say it's permissible. So he says here, Shniot Mibayis. So Lechora, Shniot should be permissible for a ger. So Amar of Nachman, Yerim, so that's the way the Gemara leaves it with ger. So it sounds like Shniot, it sounds like are permissible for a ger. So Amar of Nachman, Gerim, Hova Atul Yad, Nemuhu Milta. Nachman says, once we're talking about Gerim, while we're on the topic, we'll, you know, expand on the topic. He says, Achim min ha'aim lo ya'idu. He says, let's say you have two Gerim who are paternal brothers biologically, so they shouldn't testify before Bezin. In other words, Achim are psulim to be made. So, but if they're Gerim, they shouldn't testify. But if they did testify, their edus is a valid edus. He says, Achim and Av, if it's brothers on the father's side, paternal brothers, Midin Lechachila. Now, the difference between the two is, if it's a maternal brother, we take it that we can rely that they are indeed brothers. That's the thing, maternal brother. If paternal brother, we can't rely that they're brothers. In other words, like the Gemara has a pasuk, Zir Matam, Zir Matsusim, like their flow is like the horses, like they're very promiscuous, and we don't know who's who and what's what. So according to the first two Kemptim, Rav Nachman says, L'chachila, maternal brothers should not testify, but if they did, the evidence is good. But paternal brothers, they can have a green light to testify in Bezdin. Because it's mitzarei a couple of things. First of all, the gerim, so it's really like katan shenola dami. And even if the way it looks, so it doesn't look so bad because we don't even really know that they're brothers. So then the Gemara says, Amemar says, afilu achim en ha'em nam bin l'chachila. Amemar says, even maternal brothers can testify l'chachila. So the Gemara says, Umay shenamei arayot. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? How come by Erva we say, you know, if a person converts and he wants to marry his sister, we're not going to let you do that because we're going to say you came from a Kedusha, you know, Chamura. He says, how come when it comes to this din about testifying, so even the more Machmir Shita, which is Rav Nachman, holds just the Chachilu, the maternal brother shouldn't testify, but the evidence is good. So everybody seems to hold the testimony of Krovim when he convert is acceptable. But by marriage, not. What's the difference? The Gemara says, "Mishnah Arayot." So the Gemara says, "Erva l'chol masura." Says erva, everybody. In other words, everybody marries. Everybody's involved with in that sense. So if you look in the Rashi, Rashi's 8 lines above where it says, "Mishnah l'chol masura," "Hakol nosim nashim," everybody marries. "Hilkach yishart l'kiyuma." If I allow a ger to remain in a marriage situation with a woman who normally would be prohibited. So people don't think, oh, I guess I could do this. I'll try this as well. He says, they won't realize that a ger is kinola dami. They won't realize that distinction. They'll make a mistake. But back in the Gemara, he says, Eidut the Beitin Masura. Eidut is given under the aegis of Bezdin. In other words, Eidus is always, you know, obviously you have a Bezdin, you're having Eidus. He says, and Rashi says, so even if you are machshir, the edus of brothers, a gerim, you're not going to machshir two Jewish brothers. So the Bezin realizes that, you know, a ger is different. He's a whole different situation. Now, in the article I mentioned, especially also in Tosfos here, let me get it over. Where is it? Yeah, so he says we gave two reasons by the erva. One reason by the erva why Ger can't marry his close relative is so people shouldn't say he came from a Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Kal. He came from a high level of Kedusha to a low level of Kedusha. When he was a Goy, it was prohibited. Now he's Jewish. It's like you couldn't eat treifas when you were a Goy. Now you're a Jewish, you can eat treifas, that type of thing. But here, you want to give a different reason. They said that the Gemara says that we're afraid that it'll impact Jewish people, in other words, we're afraid that if Jewish people see the ger is married to this erva, they'll permit themselves to be married to it. So the Gemara gives two reasons why we can't permit the ger to do it. Right. So he says here, Tosfos explained both reasons are needed. The first reason applies in case of relationships that were forbidden to the ger before his conversion, while the second reason applies in case of the relationships that are not forbidden to the goyim. In other words, one is like goyim are forbidden in some relations, so that's definitely prohibited because I'm afraid to say kedusha chamura kedusha kala. But it sounds like that even according to the second reason, there might be relationships that goyim are allowed to, but Jews aren't allowed to. But it sounds like we wouldn't allow the ger to do it because it might impact the way Jews do themselves in their marriages. All right. Any questions, comments, or something we did? Everybody good? Bernie, you're happy?
I need to know what Mamar accomplishes.
Okay. Let's interrupt for a minute. Okay, Fern has a question about Mamar. What do you want to know about Mamar?
What it accomplishes.
So by Mamar, it locks the woman into that Yavam. In other words, let's say he's got five brothers. When he does Mamar, he's the brother. The other brothers can't go forward with Yibam or Chalitza. He's the one who's going to go forward with it. In addition to which, In addition to which, the Chachamim were Metakin Mamar. So, in other words, so it shouldn't be like you're Mekadish her with Bia. In other words, we want you to do like Kiddushay Kesef or Kiddushay Shtar. It's a little bit like, it's like today. I mean, it's like at one point in time, Yibum was good, but then people maybe aren't such a high level. So we want them to do Kiddushay Kesef or Shishtar. That's what Rabbi Sablovsky said.
So my question is, how does that accomplish what Yibum is supposed to accomplish?
No, it's just the first stage. In other words, it's not Yibum, it's just on a Rabbanan level, but then you're going to do the Yibum. Yibum is when you have relations with her.
Do you have a certain amount of time to do the Yibum, or no, it could schlep forever?
Open-ended.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. No,
Rabbi, regarding that, I mean, the Torah gives you an option to get married through Bia. So what Chachamim said, they don't like the Torah's option?
Yes.
I understand.
It's the same thing. Remember, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that Rav Mangid Amand the Mekadesh Babia. Remember, like that Rav would give Malko to a person to be Mekadesh Babia. So it's a
similar idea. Allows you to have that. So, Torah allows you. I mean, are we afraid people don't have the right Kavanah?
Fern, this is really, Fern, you've seen what's happened, Fern? You see what's happened? Anyway. Okay. Anyway,
question. Again, it bothers me also.
It means that sometimes the Torah permits you, but the Chachamim cut back because things are problematical. It's many things like that. Okay, but let's go back. We got to go back to our Gemara, then we'll see how we do. Okay, so we're in Chaf Beis Amud Aleph in the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Okay, all right. Manitha, everybody mute themselves. Okay, Manitha, Mishesh Lo Ach Mikom Achom. If a person has a brother under any circumstance, so we don't know what this means, but the Gemara, please, not, somebody's not muted, and I'm going to help you out here. Okay, now you helped out. Okay, so now the Gemara says, a person has any sort of a brother, so we don't know what this means, but the Gemara is going to explain, even if the brother's a mamzer, in other words, that means mamzer in the genealogical sense, not in the, his disposition. Okay, so take it, so that still forces let's say Reuven is a kosher brother, he dies, he has no children, and he has a brother Shimon who's a mamzer. So it sounds so strange, like we use mamzer like in a kind of looser sense, but he has a brother who's a mamzer, so now Rachel, his wife, is linked to him for Yibum or a Chalitza. That's who she's got. He says, and the mamzer is his brother for everything, meaning that the mamzer will yarshen him, and if it's the other way around, let's say that the brother is a kohen, and he has a brother who's a mamzer, and the mamzer dies, he'll be metame to him, go to the funeral. Except one exception would be, let's say I have a brother, a genealogical biological brother, but he's from a shivcha. In other words, my father was an Eved Ivri, and the master mated him with a shivcha tnanit, and he has a child. So there, this offspring is an Eved, and it's not miyuchas after the father. Or if a person had a, you know, a tryst with a non-Jewish woman and he had a child, it's not Miuchas after him, so it's not a brother. Okay. If a person has a son under any circumstances, and again, it means the son's a mom there, Poteri Shlaviv Menagibim. Dad, it's a corollary. So in other words, if Reuven dies, let's say Reuven, he had a child who was a mamzer, and then he marries Rachel. And then Reuven dies, and he leaves a brother Shimon. So if Reuven has a mamzer for a child, that patches everybody from Yibam. And the son who's a mamzer is chayev if he strikes his father or he curses the father. He says, Ubenola for the bar. He's his ben for everything, meaning he yarshens him. And again, if the father was a Kohen and the son died, he'd be metami to him. Similarly, if a person has a son from a shifta or from a non-Jew, so again, that's not miyuchas after him. Right. So from the shifta knanit, it's a din of an eved. So an eved observes women mitzvot like a woman, but it's not miyuchas after him, and the avedik l'chabim is a non-Jew. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts on the mission? Everybody good?
Yes, is a ger, would a ger be over if he strikes his father?
So you mean, so lechora not, because the only question would be if the father converts, but even if the father converts, we said a ger,
they're not related.
Right, it's like so this, yeah. So he's not his son anymore. It's not great to do that, and I wouldn't recommend doing it. It's not like in the what the Torah wants you to do, but you're not chayiv misa for striking a person like that. Okay,
so the Gemara. What do you mean by miyuchas? You say miyuchas
means for purpose of halacha, you're called the person's child.
Like
Reuven ben Yaakov. Okay? Okay. Everybody mute. Okay, now, five lines from the bottom. Tomorrow, Mikol Makom Latimai. So I explained this already. What is Mikol Makom? We said the first line of the Mishnah is Mishnesh To'ach Mikol Makom. He's got any sort of brother. What is Mikol Makom? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Latimai Mams there, to include even a Mams there. So Pshita Achivu. So is that obvious? Why do we need to kind of teach me? This is his brother. I realize he's a Mams there, but he's still his brother. So Mamu the Tame Malayla Akva Akva Mina Yaakov. So I would think, remember we learned earlier in the Gemara that when it comes to Yibam, so we go like through paternal brothers. Remember we learned that. And how did we learn it? It says Achim, right, Achim. The Gemara had two rayas, but one raya was that he had Xer Shava, says Keshu Achim, and it says Shnei Masar Avadech Achim Bnei Avinu, by the sons of by the brothers when they go to Mitzrayim. I think I said that. Shnei Masar Avadech Achim Bnei Avinu. Achim, right? Where's that Achim? Yeah, before Achim or after Achim? Okay, so the Gemara says, so Achva Achim in Yaakov. So the Gemara says that I have this Zereshavim. So I would think that the Bnei Yaakov, they're Ksherim. In other words, there's no Mamzeris there. So I would think that since you're learning all the Dinim of Yibam from Bnei Yaakov, so the brother should have to be a Kasher brother, not a Mamzer. So Kamashlan, so the Tana Mishnah is teaching me not this way. I wouldn't have thought otherwise, but the Tana is teaching me that's not the case. So why does Taka, it's a great argument. Why not? It sounds so good. Why is that not the halakha? So the Gemara says, even in the Yibam Niftar, since, as the Mishnah explains later on, we learn from the Mishnah, if a person has a child and the child's a mom's there, so the widow is out of the din of Yibam because the husband had a child. So he says, so turn page on the top line on he says, Mizkat Nami Zakik. So since I see the theme of Yibam, the child who's a mamzer counts as a child, and the Gemara is going to learn right where we know that from, but not tonight. So Mela is logical as a corollary to that, Mizkat Nami Zakik. He also creates a Zika if he's the brother. In other words, so it's good for one relationship, a child for the Yibam, it's good for a brother relationship as well. All right. Now, Bachivu Lechodavar, he's his brother. For all dinim, so lamai hilchatav. What halacha is he the brother? So liyorsho, he's his brother that he'll yarshin him. In other words, either way, if the mamzer dies, the regular brother, or the regular brother dies, the mamzer will yarshin him. Please tell me low, if the kosher brother is a kohen and the mamzer dies, so the kohen has a heter to be mitame for his brother who's a mamzer. So the Gemara says, Pshita Achivu, that's obvious. He's his brother. And that's the Torah says you can be Matami for a brother. So the Gemara says, Sakhata Khamin, I would have thought, Holofi, Kim Lashiro Karovelav. So it says by a Kohen, who can the Kohen be Matami for? Kim Lashiro Karovelav is closer to She'er, which is his wife. She'er is like the flesh, the relative, but means his wife. But Amar Mar, we have a statement, She'erozu Ishto, She'ero means his wife. Uchtiv, and then the Pasuk later on says, Lo yitma baal ba'amav lehechalo, that a baal shouldn't be metame to the person who desecrates him. In other words, if he's a Kohen and his wife desecrates him, he's not allowed to be metame to the wife. How so? Each baal shem metame, each baal shem metame. Sometimes the husband is metame for his wife, sometimes the husband is not metame for his wife. Haketzad, metame hu leishto k'sheira. If he's married to a wife who's k'sheira, then he's metame. Let's say his wife is a grusha, and he, the Kohen, in violation of halacha, married the grusha, and then Rachman Hassan, the grusha, dies. So he's not allowed to go to the funeral and be metame to her. So I see that example by the wife that you only get the pass if it's a kosher wife, not if it's a, you know, pasul wife. So I would think the same thing with the brother. If it's a kosher brother, you metame the kosher brother. If it's a non-kosher brother, you're not metame for him. That's what I would have thought. So hakanami mitami hulach kasher ve'im mitami hulach pasul. So I would have thought that the same din that applies to wife would apply to a brother. Kamash malan. So the Talmud Mishnah teaches me that's not the case. There's a different din. The wife only for the kasher wife, but the brother any brother. So ve'im hakanami. So the Gemara says, "Taka, why not? That makes a lot of sense. Why are you mitami for the mom there?" So hatam lapuki kaima. So with the wife is omed to be, you know, the, like divorced, like, to end the relationship. Rashi says, where's the Rashi? Yeah, the third by law, Lapuki Kaima Hilkach Labishtohi. In other words, we want him to end, to dissolve this marriage. We don't want him to remain married to this woman. So we don't view it as the wife. Hacha Achivu. In other words, here it's his brother. In other words, like, he's his brother for life. Like, you know, blood is thicker than water, as they say. In other words, you can't dissolve that relationship. But with the wife, the halacha wants you to get rid of that relationship. So for the purpose of halacha, we're going to treat her it's not a wife because we don't want you to be remarried to her. Right. The marriage is tofeis. We're correct. But we're not going to, like, you know, accord it all the, you know, benefits of a regular marriage because we want you to dissolve this marriage. Or I should say we want to dissolve the marriage, so we view it as like she's not married to this halacha. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, we're gonna move on. Now there were 9:10 on Tafez Amid Beis. Kutmi Shishto Achman a Shifchom and Oveda Kuchavim, except for a person who has a brother from a Shifcha or from a non Jewish woman. Again, so my time, so why the Gemara focuses on the Shifcha? Why is the brother from the Shifcha and that kind of a brother? Amar Kroi, Shavi Ladeh Tiela Dinah. The Pasuk says the woman and her offspring belong to the master. So the brother, even though he's biologically the brother, he has a din of an Eved Kanani. So he's not Miuchas after the father. He's not Miuchas together with the brother anymore. Again, we said in the Mishnah that a brother is your brother for the dinim of Yibum, any brother, even a mom's heir. And we said the brother is all the dinim, like he yarshins you, and you'd be, if you're a Kohen, you'd be Matami for him. We said, except for a brother from the Shifcha or from the Avedic Kuchavim. That doesn't count as a brother. His father was an Eved Ivri for a while. While he was an Eved Ivri, the master mated him with the Shifcha Kanani to have children. And then he had a child with the Shifcha Kanani. And then he finished his term of service. And then he married his mother. And then for the mother, he had the child. So he's saying, but that doesn't count as the brother because it's an Eved Kanani. So he says here, and again, the Gemara will get to the din with the non-Jew. We had it already. If you look in the Rashi, the last white line, Avedik Kuchavim, Lekam Afarish Bishvaitin, Mechi Yasir Ben Chami Afarai. The Pasuk teaches me that it's only a Jewish mother conveys the status, not the non-Jewish mother. Okay? All right. Then we're done with brothers. Now we're going to child. Okay. Mi Sheishto Ben, Mi Komakom Poter V'chulei. Now, if a person has any sort of a son that potters his widow from any din of Yibam and Chalitza. So, Mikol Makom Latuimai, what does Mikol Makom come to include? Who's a mamzer? So even if he has a son, you know, he had, like Reuven had an adulterous relationship with a woman and he fathered a child, and then he married Rachel. And so even though he has a son and the son was the result of an Aveira, he still pops Rachel from Yibam. So he says, my time, the Amar Pro Uvein in Lo, Ayen Lav. The Torah says, Keshuchim Yachav, Umeda Kamehem, Uvein in Lo. He doesn't have a son. Uvein Ein Lo. So Ein Lo is spelled I love Yod Nun. So let's see, the Gemara is going to say, we'll see in a minute, the Gemara has this drasha elsewhere that Ein could be spelled Aleph Nun. So it's saying Aleph Yud Nun, it's like Ayena Lav, like examine it. It's like ancestry.com. In other words, you go and see, does there be any offspring anywhere in the world that'll pop in. Let's look at the Rashi on this. The second narrow line of Rashi, everybody with me? Uvein Ein Lo. Matzil Nechtav Uvein Ein Lo. It could have written Vein Ein Lo with no Yud in the Aleph Yud Nun. Leave out the Yud. Kedimidim B'Kedushin Ein Kasef. The Gemara has a similar drasha in Sechet Kedushin. It says Ein Kasef, but it could be spelled that way. Kamo Me'ein Yivami. So Me'ein Yivami is a different word, but you see that Ein is spelled without a Yud. Me'ein Balam there as well. L'hach Ketav Ein, to write Ein, the Medrash Ayin Alav. Ein, like the Aleph, and Ayin, like you should examine it. The Me'eshlo Ben Ba'olam Poter. If he has any son in the world, he exempts the widow from Yibam and Chalitza. All right, let's see further. So back in the Gemara, everybody.
How about Meshiksa?
Said Meshiksa is not Miuchas. He's got to have a son.
Okay.
It's not called his son. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. And the same thing with the Shifcha. He's got a biological son, but that doesn't count. Maybe I didn't give a good example on the ancestry.com, but you get the idea. So now, the Chayav Makato. If that son strikes his father, the son is chayav mitzvah because that's a capital crime. So amai karikan v'rasivim chalo taor v'osim maseyamkos. So the Gemara says, why should that be the case? This father has quite a colorful history. In other words, he's done terrible aveira in creating this child. He did right, like he it could have been an adulterous relationship, but it wasn't a good relationship. You know, he did a tremendous aveira in having this child. So why should the son be chayav v'hitzim? Why don't we say v'nasiv yam chalo ta'or? It says, like, in other words, the Torah says, don't curse your father and don't hit your father. But there's another admonition in the Torah, v'nasiv yam chalo ta'or. Don't curse the nasi. The nasi is usually like the king, whatever. But ba'osei ma'asei amcha. V'nasiv be'amcha is only when the nasi is observing mitzvot. When it says ba'amcha, it means like he's observing the mitzvot. He says, so if that's the case, so why is his father do this deference about cursing and hitting? He obviously is not a firm fellow. That's the Lakora. So the Gemara says, Kida Amara Pinchas Mishmedra Papa Ba'osa Tshuva. So this will be familiar to Daphne people. If you look on this, not here, but we had this in Chagiga. He says, it's like there's another, remember in Chagiga, the Gemara says if in the last parak, Chomer B'Kodesh, so the Mishnah has a case if people stole Kalim and then they returned it and they said, we stole it, but there was no Tuma in there. So they're believed that because since they're doing the Tshuva of returning it, we believe them to say that nothing Tami touched it. So that he says, both say Tshuva. So Hachanami Shasa Tshuva. So we could say that when the Mishnah says that the son would be chai for cursing or hitting the father, it's something where the father subsequently did tshuva. This is v'hai bar tshuva hu. He's capable of doing tshuva. But son, we learned the Mishnah, and this we had in Masechet Chagiga. Eventually, it all comes together for Daf Yomi people. He says Shimon ben Manasseh Omer Ezu Muvat Lo Yuchal Kon. What's crooked that can't be made straight? So Bala Erva V'Lemi Mina Mamzer. The person, you know, had relations with a forbidden sexual relationship, and he had a mamzer, so that you can't be metakein. So the Gemara says, "Hashtami osei maasei amcha." Yeah, you're right. He can't really be metakein everything in the past, but right now he's from. Let's see Rashi. He says, around 10 lines down in the Rashi, "Hashtami et hol v'shav osei maasei amcha." And it was right now, you know, he's observing Shabbos, Kashrut, and Tarot Mishpacha. When he nami davon galu, even his car calls bunch of mamzer kayam, and even though his past aveira is open and notorious, and everybody who sees his child knows he's a mamzer realizes what Reuven did. But from the time he did tshuva, he's considered in the category of osei maasei amcha. All right, let me just do a little bit from station identification, and then we'll go on. All right. So first, we have a little bit from the alada. Okay, the Gemara says that even though the following mamzer is called the muvashin of holakon, father's tshuva is osei maasei amcha, and cursing him is forbidden. There are several approaches to understanding the Gemara's conclusion. Rabbeinu Chaim in Tosos and Bava Batra on Peitet maintains that the immoral father who does tshuva is called Osei Maasei Amcha because tshuva is effective in fully eradicating all sins, even if a mamzer was produced. When Shimon ben Manasseh says this type of sin is called by Shlomo Melech Mubachein Yecholat Kon, he simply means that the sinner will suffer endless humiliation since the effect of his act of the mamzer is a constant reminder of his immoral deed. So it means he could do tshuva even though he's a child. It's just he'll always suffer humiliation and everybody's always reminded of it. But in Akinami, you could do full tshuva. Rashi, above on Chafal from an
Aleph. The child, nobody considers the child. What if he does tshuva, why can't the child then come out of his mom's root?
No, it doesn't work that way.
I know it doesn't.
Let's say he had relations with his sister. That what can I tell you? That's the way it goes. Okay, just 1 minute, and I'll pause in just 2 minutes, Malka. We'll give you a free. We'll give you a venting session. Okay, 1 second. One second. The venting session will be in 2 minutes. Right now, it's the muting session. Okay, now, Rashi on Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph and Chagiga Daf Ted indicates that even according to the Gemara's conclusion, the sin of immorality cannot be entirely eradicated if a mamzer was produced, since the effects of the sin are present in the world. The Gemara explains, however, that although tshuva for such a sin is not entirely effective, it is sufficient to remove the stigma of Eino Osei Maasei Amcha from the father, making the son liable to the penalty for cursing. So, in other words, it doesn't fully eradicate everything, but, okay, are you saying something? What's up? You said? Okay. Just give me a minute now. Okay, Eino Osei Maasei from the father, making the son liable to a penalty for cursing. Okay, now the Kovei Ta'arot, which please, it's hard for me to focus. The Kovei Ta'arot explains that the novelty of tshuva is that Hashem does not merely cleanse one's sins; he usually eradicates all traces of the sin retroactively, so it's considered as though the sin was never committed. Shimon ben Asi teaches that if the sin produced a mamzer, then the sin cannot be eradicated retroactively, since a visible trace of the sin still exists. The Gemara explains, however, that the father does tshuva, the son may not curse him because he is not considered a sinner mikana lahava from this point onward. Okay. All right, Malki, you want to vent? Okay. All right.
I'm just going to ask you another question regarding what we discussed on Sunday, which was that, okay, so let's say this woman has to wait until the brother comes of age. Is she being taken care of?
Yeah, I think we spoke about this. So she's on her own. She's on her own. She's on her own. Okay.
She's a
very difficult spot. So that would be something that would be an incentive for the husband, if he's ill, to divorce her before he dies, so that she's not in a situation like that. Okay, but I don't have more to say about that. Okay, now.
I do have one more question. You said that the obligation of the Yavam is only one session of cohabitation, but isn't the whole concept of a Yibum to have children?
Okay, remember we spoke about this, right? In other words, the Yibum, once he does one act of cohabitation, he's fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibum. Now she's his wife, so she may be impregnated from that, maybe not. But if he wants, at that point, he can divorce her.
Oh, so it only lasts for a little, but I thought the whole idea was to have a child in the brother's name.
Hopefully he will bear a child, and again, he can keep her as a wife, but his obligations, any of that. Okay, I want to get back to today's Gemara, okay? Forgive me, Malka. All right, now, another issue that comes up is a person obligated to be mechabed a father that we call a rasha. If we would define the father as a rasha. So there's a machloket Rishon about this, but I'm going to have to make this really quick. from our sugi, it sounds like the dina kibud va'ayim don't apply to somebody who's a rasha, because the Gemara says the only reason this child is admonished not to curse or hit the father is because the father did tshuva. The implication being, if the father didn't do tshuva, everything's zero. Yeah, right. No. Yeah, it's true, but the Gemara says, "V'nasibim chalot ta'or." So just like the nasi, I'm only admonished if he's ba'amcha, he's osei masi amcha. So to lechora, the father, if he's osei masi amcha, but we're going to extrapolate from the nasi. So okay, so the Torah says venerally, it seems to me, kevan shu rasha, if the father's a rasha, einu chayav bechvodo. The Torah says, it seems to me, if father's a rasha, einu chayav bechvodo. But the Rambam says, person's chayav bekibud aba'im. He says, afilu hu ayavi rasha, mechabdom karimen. The Rambam learns differently. So there's a whole shtichel Torah, how do we miyashev all those situations? And I'm not going to get into it now because time is very limited, but I will say, he does mention at the end that that we see that Avram was Makabe Terach. Terach, his father, was an Obed Avodah Zarah. So the Bach brings the Medrash that Terach, the father of Avram, died before Avram left Haran. So people shouldn't say that Avram left his old father by himself. So even if father was a Rasha like Terach, it's Chayav and Kibud. Since in the base Medrash there in Bnei Brak, they raised the point that Chazal teaches that Terach did Shuvah before he died. All right, now, then Rachel, the Birki Yosef, brings down from the Zohar that Rachel was punished because she gave Sarah to her father, Lavan Rasha, and Lavan was Rasha, and so that seems to say that he would be obligated. But there's much more to explain about this. We have to give things more. I'm sorry to bother you and Yosef. Can I get a Chumash again? I'm sorry. Okay, now, let's go in for the kill, and then this will be it for today. Okay, I left him on top there, like really what you're saying this week. Thank you so much. All right, one second. Okay, thank you. All right. So we're at the two dots on Chaf Beis Amud Beis, and let's get our Chumashim open to Achri Mode on page 652. Page. One second. What's up? Okay, page 650. Okay, yeah. 650. And we'll see. Now the Gemara says, "Tan Rabbanan Abal Achotu Bibareish Aviv." If a person has relations with his sister, who's Bat Eish Aviv, it means, in other words, his father was legally married to his mother. He says, Chayav Mishum Achotu Mishum Bat Eish Aviv. He transgresses two lavim in the Torah, one for having relations with his sister, and one for having relations to his father's wife's daughter. He said, now, the nafka mina for that is, let's say it was Beshogeg, so he's Chayav two Korbanot Chatat. We Chayav two Korbanot Chatat. Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda Omer, no chayav al mishum achoto b'vad. Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda says he's only chayav one for achoto. He's not chayav one for the daughter of his father's wife. So my tamay d'rabbanan. What's the reason for the chachamim? They're the ones who hold two. So Amri michti k'tiv. And here, if you look in the pasuk, this is pasuk. Irbana chodcha. Yeah, pasuk 10. It says in the chumash. That your sister, who's the daughter of your father, the daughter of your mother, in other words, your paternal or maternal sister, you shouldn't have relations with her. So it's back in the Gemara. Then it says, there's another pasuk Yer Aleph, if you look at page 652, it says on pasuk Yer Aleph, the top line, the Bat Eish Ravicha, your father's lawfully fed wife. He says, so why does it say that? So it's back in the Gemara. In other words, the first Pasuk is speaking about, in other words, it says in Pasuk Ted, Achotcha v'Ravicha v'Rimecha, so that could be, you know, whether it's within lawfully wedded wife or not a lawfully wedded wife, that the prohibition exists. So why does it say Erba Badaish Rabicha Malar Rabicha Chokai? He's your sister. So he says Lamali Shmoming Alachai Vomi Shemachoto Shemadaish Rabicha. So the second pasuk is to teach me that you're going to transgress two lavim if you have relations with your sister, who is the daughter of your father's legally wife. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kra Achokai So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says Achol Chahi. Why does it say Achol Chahi? Because Achol Chahi teach you that you're only dafka chai for Achol Chah. For Rabbanan, Hay Achol Chahi Mayabilei. What do the Chachamim do with the term Achol Chahi? Since they say that that you're chai for two. So Mibayel Hu L'Chai V'Lachot To Baraviv Uvanimo. He says, that's to teach you your chayiv. In other words, the first pasuk says the sister by the half-blood, your chayiv. So achor chahi teaches me I'm chayiv even for a sister that's my full-blooded sister. He says, lomar shimazhir minadin. And that teaches me a klal that we have in Shas. Imazhir minadin means when the Torah says, don't do A, I can't learn a kal v'chomer. If the Torah says, don't have relations with my half-sister, kal v'chomer, I can't have relations with my full-sister. We can't, right, and that's a different din. You know, then here's a mazhir minadin. So we do with a mazhir minadin. Okay, so that's the way the chum teach up achor chahi. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda learned no, it's just not for achor chah. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda says if that's all the Torah wanted to teach me, in king l'tov rachmana achor chah. So it could say achor chah, your sister. He lamali. Why does he? He says mishum achor chah tabachayvo v'yitokayvo mishum bareishin aviv. That's the teaching. The word he is still superfluous. So he teaches me dafka for sister, not for your father's wife's daughter. The case in the Torah is a half sister. In other words, if you look in Pasuk Tet, saying if you have a sister by the half blood, then you transgress when you have relations with her. Don't have relations with her. And then So we were saying you could have relations even with your whole blooded sister, your chayiv twice. But the Gemara says, so we're trying to figure out what is achod chah. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda says it's just for achod chah, your chayiv. And the Chachamim says, no, achod chah teaches me they're even chayiv for your full blooded sister. So Rabbi Yosef says, yeah, achod chah teaches me, but the word he is still superfluous. He teaches me the doctrine for achod chah. He says, Rabbanan, afakav nachiv achod chah. Chachamim say, even though it says achod chah, if strich nechav pi, I need both. So according to Chachamim, achod chah was to teach me for the full-blooded sister, but it's not say he. Shlo tomar ba'alma mazhir min adin. In other words, according to Chachamim, it's a mechayev choice. And Achor Chah is teaching me that the full-blooded sister, right? But he says, He says, for the full-blooded sister. But it has to say he. In other words, he teaches me that in general, for other cases, other than here, that I can't, extrapolate, don't do it based on a kav v'chomer. So maybe I'll say like this, like I'll refute this whole shtickle Torah. And I'll say, why is the Torah right achot chah? Milt da'akib a kav v'chomer, tarach katav lakra. In other words, no, really you could learn it with a kav v'chomer. But sometimes the Torah writes something, even though I could learn something with a kav v'chomer, the Torah writes a pasuk for it, even though I could learn it with a kav v'chomer. So the Gemara says, katav rachmana he. So the Torah says, he, to teach me, that's a superfluous word, but dafka, no, that under no circumstances can you learn be mazir min adin. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, he learned that achot chah was to teach me that it's just because of achot chah is the only thing you're chayav for. And he's the one teaching me I can't be mazir min adin. If everything would be the way the Chachamim say, then that the word achod chahi should be in the first pasuk. Achod chahi is in pasuk yirale. So why don't I put achod chahi in the first pasuk? In other words, it says don't have relations with your half-blooded sister from the father or from the sister, from the mother. They should say achod chahi, who's your sister, teach me that even the full-blooded sister. Why does it put it in the second pasuk? He says, this puts in the second pasuk, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, teach me that it's the only thing you're chayav for. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, hai ba'eish l'avicha mayavidlei. So what does Taka then, so then in pasuk Yir Aleph, what does Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda use that pasuk for? Since he holds that there's only one law you're transgressing. So when he bailei, mishesh lo isha l'avicha ba, you lose it to teach me that you're chayev if the offspring is somebody that your father could potentially marry. In other words, the pasuk says erbat bat eishet abicha. It has to be someone who could be married to your father, as opposed to, let's say, your father had relations with a non-Jewish woman, or he had, you know, he fathered, you know, a daughter through a shifcha kananit. So that's not somebody that's really to be the wife. So if I have relations with that biological sister, I'm not chayev for, you know, having relations with my sister. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ima prat la'akotomi anusa." Maybe I should say is to exclude that his sister from an anusa. My father raped a woman. That's logical based on what Rava says. The Rava Rami, Rava poses a contradiction sukin. Now this is a different relation. We're focusing on sister. We're going to shift over to granddaughters. Rabbi Rami, Ktiv, Erbat Bapin Kov, Bapin Kalot Kalei, don't have relations with your granddaughter, either your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. So the implication being that your wife's granddaughter, you could have relations with. And then, Ktiv, but another pasuk says, Erbati Shavita Lot Kalei, Ebapinabi Bapita. It says, I can't have relations with my wife's granddaughter. So one pasuk seems to say the wife's granddaughter is permissible. One pasuk says the wife's granddaughter is not permissible. That one, the pasuk that says that the granddaughter is permissible is if I had raped the woman. In where it's my legal wife, then the granddaughter is prohibited. But the point being, though, that in all events, the benomina onsin, in other words, when it talks about son, your son, even if the son is a product of a rape, he's still called your son. So, you know, bat ben chad, in other words, the Torah calls it a ben, whether the ben is from a legal marriage or from a non-legal marriage. So just like the son is called the son, whether it's from a legal marriage or a non-legal, you know, union, so too the sister would be, whether it's from, you know, a legal marriage or a non-legal. Okay, now the top line, I thought, give a little bit of and then we'll call it a day. So the ema, prat l'chai b'lavin. Why can't I say, again, within Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, the question is, what does he darshan from that pasuk yud aleph? Ervapad eish avicha maleder avicha. So the ema prat l'chai b'lavin. Why can't I say it's teaching me that you're chayiv when you have relations with your sister, but prat l'chai b'lavin. If my father transgressed the law in marrying the mother, then I wouldn't be chayiv to have relations with the sister. So amar papa chayiv b'lavin tafsi b'hu kedushin. But papa says it's not true because if you transgress the law, then you should aren't tofes and she is your sister. If a man has two wives, one is beloved and one is detested. The Torah is describing, we assume the Torah is teaching like from the perspective of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So from the perspective of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, is one wife loved or detested? Ahuva means that like a Kaddish Baruch Hu liked her marriage. Snua b'nisuah. Is like the marriage was baveira. So if it was a kosher marriage, it's a huva. Is it not a kosher marriage, he's snua. But Amarachmana kitiana. The Torah says kitiana, that there is a wife. So really that hesber doesn't hold water. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? All right. Let me get the recording. 1 second. One second.